This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
For the Falcons report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Fighting all the way through, finding a way to get that win is absolutely outstanding. What we love to do.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass!
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are counting down to the NFL draft. Mike, we are excited about what the future holds for our Atlanta Falcons, what that may look like. We're going to talk to our buddy Charles Davis tomorrow from NFL Network. DJ Shockley's going to stop by to talk about the Georgia angle guys and what he thinks the Falcons may or may not be doing. We got you covered. If you missed our interview with Ross Tucker earlier, go online at odyssey.com. Make sure you rewind and check that out as Ross was talking about some interesting things with us. This draft, look, and Mike and I have been saying this, it is already interesting just from the quarterback stuff. We don't need a quarterback this year. We're not going for quarterback, trust me. But some of that, Mike, will help us if more quarterbacks are taken, especially if we stay at 15. And let's just say we get 3. Right now it's projected 2, but maybe we get 3 that are taken before we end up drafting. Well, then that helps us because some of these position players that we're looking at will certainly be there.
I know that we've debated edge rusher, and there's a couple of guys you guys really like. Carl's going to spill the tea, and we'll find out just what he's hearing from his people about what we're going to be doing. But Mykel Williams, the injury concern, that's one thing that's cropped up. Albert Breer had it, so it's out there. NFL personnel people are aware of this, that the ankle perhaps is maybe healing at a slower rate, or is it a continuous thing that needs surgery? I'm not trying to put words in a chiropractor or an orthopedist mouth, but I sure hope that's not the case because I really like Mykel Williams, but I don't like him as much at 15 then, if that's the case.
I'm with you. And look, I'm not going to tell you they're out on Mykel. They'd be silly to say that at this point. But if you don't think the injury concerns are a part of this discussion, then you're not paying attention to how that plays with where the Falcons are. Mike, if we were coming off of a Super Bowl and we were loaded like the Philadelphia Eagles defensively,
right?
We had depth. You could take a chance and do that and it not bother you. We're not there. We're a team right now that has been the worst team when it comes to getting after the quarterback and sacking the quarterback in the National Football League for the last 4 years. And when you know that as a head coach and you know, Mike, potentially your job is on the line, you can't play around. Here's what I'm hearing, man, and I will tell you guys, Thursday we're going to dive as much as we can into the last-minute things that we're hearing. But, Mike, everybody's talking about, and I just want to use this as an example, Shamar Stewart, right? We've spent a lot of time talking about the kid out of A&M. What if I told you he's just an average guy? What if I told you he is not special in the way that some of these other edge rushers are?
Was he just a guy who popped at the combine? That's where all this hype came? Because you said it. What was his situation when he was at College Station? Out of shape? The weight they asked him to play at? Why aren't the stats there?
All right, so 3 years in a row, and I'm throwing this out there for you guys because a lot of people are saying, all right, if this guy's not there, I'm just telling you this. 1.5 sacks. Every year he was there, Mike, sophomore, junior, senior year, 1.5 sacks. He wasn't even the best edge rusher or pass rusher on the Texas A&M team. All right. That goes to Nick Skorton, who, by the way, is ranked lower than he is because everybody has Shamar Stewart because of what you're talking about, the physical traits. But Skorton is a much better pass rusher. He's a much better projected player by a lot of people. And, Mike, here's a guy that you could get in the second round potentially and really help your pass rush. But I'm just saying, that's an example of guys that I will tell you right now, I don't think they're in on. I think everybody's talking about Shamar Stewart because of his physicality and all this. I don't think he's a day one guy.
Okay.
All right? Walter Nolan.
Ole Miss.
Defensive tackle. All right? And you're going to say, wait a minute, Dukes, we're going to draft a defensive tackle? We might, but it might not be the 15th pick.
Yeah, we could see. I like that. And by the way, we need some more help either way.
We do.
In that position. We need more guys in that rotation.
Mike, we're not deep enough.
No. It's Rook, and then you get into all these guys that have been around this team for a couple of years, plus Onyemata, who's average at best.
And on the tail end.
Right.
Walter Nolan, best interior pass rusher in this draft. I'm telling you.
Can you trade down to Pittsburgh? Could you trade down to the Chargers and get him?
I would love that.
That's 21 or 22.
And you know what? And we're picking up picks. I would love to see that happen. I really would. I'm giving you a couple of names, okay? By the way, kid 6'4", 300 pounds. If you didn't watch Ole Miss this year, just let me tell you this. And dog fans, no offense. He dominated the dog's offensive line, okay?
In the rain in Ole Miss. Correct. By the way, Steelers don't have all the draft equity we need. Chargers would. Okay. Chargers have more picks to use. So just then, so for then, argument's sake, that's 22.
All right, so then that's where you want to be. That's where I would love to be, and I'm throwing this out there to tell you, if you're going to improve this defense, we're not only going to go edge, we're going to go defensive tackle. Let's go get the best guys available. Here's the other thing, Mike, and this is the kicker for me. Mike Green is a day one starter and a difference maker. You guys do realize, or maybe you don't, you know who his agent is? Michael Penix's agent.
Ah, okay.
The Falcons really like Mike Green.
I like Mike Green. Now, do you like Mike Green?
I love Mike Green. But I'm not going to tell you for sure. I'm not 100%. Just like I wasn't when it came to Penix. I just said, look, I feel like this is, they have some conviction here, and it's crazy. I know it's crazy. But Mike, I feel like, and everybody's saying, oh, he's got red flags. Mike Green has less red flags than a bunch of other guys that we've talked about. And when you talk about, you know, whether it's Pierce or some of these other guys, you go, well, wait a minute. If you do the in-depth stuff on these guys and guys are telling me, well, you know what, here's my concern, or teams are saying that, I'm just telling you this is where we need to be. If you're going to really improve, and I'm giving you a second, maybe even a third-round pick if we happen to pick one up. The first-round pick is going to be very interesting because there are many ways that we can go. But, Mike, I need a day-one starter. This dude is that.
And that's the guy. That's the dude that we talked about at the Senior Bowl. Made all the headlines for just throwing around some Oregon Ducks like ducks, you know, down there at the practice in the one-on-ones. Now, we've discussed him at length. He was basically, they agreed to part company from Charlottesville up at UVA over something that was never charged over. And again, Green was asked about it, said there's accusations. I've never been questioned. I've never been asked. So I think we look at Micah Parsons. There was some similar stuff going back to his high school time that was around Micah Parsons. You have to go back and look at these pre-draft, and you can see what was said about him.
Let me ask you this. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio.
It doesn't bother me.
92.9. It doesn't bother me either. Let me ask you this. If Mike Hill is there and Green, and they went Green, are Falcon fans PO'd?
I don't think. Maybe as some will be, because some guys are not going to know who Mike Green is.
Okay.
Some guys, as much as we hope you listen every day, haven't followed the process, aren't familiar with him. 17 and a half sacks at Marshall this year. This guy's been a beast. And what he did at the Senior Bowl, and he was at Division I, again, at UVA, you'll know Mike Hill Williams. But Mike Hill Williams, the scary part now is, we've said, what is he? Is he a hand in the dirt? Can he be a double-digit sack guy in the NFL? We also know that Kirby puts guys in the league that once you figure out how you're going to use them, they're going to be the best. So I can see both sides of it. But I'd be happy either way. I think some Georgia fans, some Falcon fans would be upset.
404-726-0929.
But we've been pumping Mike Green from the jump. Wrote about some of the other, just real quick, some other randos. Jihad Campbell, by the way, doctors have said he will be ready for training camp with the torn labrum, the former Alabama linebacker.
Yep.
He visited the Cowboys and the Falcons. So his name is out there. We'll tell you who's at Falcons today coming up.
Yeah, he's a sideline to sideline guy. I mean, he's legit.
So, I mean,
Jihad is good.
I like him. I certainly like, you know, we talked about, you know, other options for this Falcon team. But if you're trading down, I'm not sure that, you know, he'd be there in that 15 to 25.
Well, that's the thing. See, if you're talking about value, that's why I bring up Nick Skorton. If you're going to go get the best pass rusher off the A&M defense and you keep hearing that it's Shamar Stewart, it's not. I mean, there's two Shamars, by the way. There's Shamar Turner.
Could Jalen Walker fall to us, by the way?
Shamar Stewart. Yeah. If Jalen Walker's there, Mike, you got to take him.
Right.
I know, but I've got my concerns, but you got to take him.
Right.
To me, now that would be a mistake. If you're telling me Jalen and Green are there, you got to take Jalen. Because Jalen is a top five player in the draft, not at position. So to me, that's the fundamental thing. We're just telling you, there's many ways we can go. But there are some guys they're more in on than others.
Hey, let me ask you this, because you're dialed in. We're going to tell you real quick who was at camp today. You're going to be like, who? What about the Donovan Ezeraku, the kid out of Boston College?
He's nice.
Okay, we have not really focused on him.
Nobody knows who he is,
6'3", 248.
Yes.
We talked about Michael Williams-Green. We've talked about Pierce.
Yep.
Okay, but latest CBS Sports Mock Draft has us taking him at 15 from BC.
Look,
16 and a half sacks last year.
That would be a guy that our most Falcon fans would go, who?
That would be the one you'd be ticked off of over Michael Williams if he's available. Because, who's this dude from Boston College?
You would be. But he's pretty damn good. And everybody I've talked to likes him. The problem is nobody has him ranked higher than these other guys.
Right.
So
Green, if you put a gun to my head, please don't. I go with Mike Green.
I'm just telling you. And again, it's no guarantee. But when you start to have convictions about players like they did last year about Michael Penix, and it becomes a real possibility – if they are in position to do it. And that's the thing we don't know. Guys, we don't know if we're staying at 15.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in less than 15 minutes from now, what former Falcon feels like he was done dirty? Wait until you hear this. Right now, though, we got to talk some baseball with our buddy Grant McCauley. Grant, man, winning feels good, doesn't it? I mean, it just changes everything. You wake up, your orange juice tastes better. I mean, I wake up this morning, I'm like, four in a row. It feels so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a marked improvement from where they were, just trying to string together back-to-back wins. Now they're on a nice little streak, have a chance to win another series, though obviously there's some challenges in the starting pitching department for this game that we weren't anticipating prior, but I think you just have to kind of ride this wave as far as it'll go, and the Braves certainly would like to make the most of this homestand before they have to head back out on the road and face, at the very least, a tough Arizona club a little bit later this week. So winning all that you can, that obviously is a pretty simple goal, but one that felt a little bit hard to attain for a couple of weeks there.
The latest wrinkle to the Kelnick controversy coming up. But first, let's talk about the game last night. Some clutch hitting. You touched on that, Grant. Great to see, you know, Sean Murphy just really responding. We talked about Riley. The one thing that was, I understand he got warmed up and so he's ready to go. So they rolled with Iglesias. How concerned are you with Iglesias now with a loss, blown save, and just shaky?
Not a lot. I mean, obviously it doesn't look good and doesn't feel good to have those kind of things go on. But I think that you have to kind of look at it as the long season that it is and allowing guys to, especially veteran guys, to work through things like this. And there's obviously no need to start thinking about different guys closing or pitching the ninth inning. Sometimes, for whatever reason, non-save situation doesn't always work out for closers in some ways. I don't know if that's anecdotal or if anybody's ever done a real study on that, but I think that there were a few things at play, and maybe waiting a little extra while as the Braves scored a bunch of runs, which is a double-edged sword, I guess, in this case, might have given him a little bit more time than he needed, honestly, more time than he knew what to do with. So I'm not especially worried about it. I think that precision is a big part of his game. He's not the hardest thrower, but he does have good stuff. I think he just needs to continue to round out, get himself back into form, and if for some reason this drags on for a longer period of time, I think my concern would start to rise after that.
All right, so he's hitting. Matter of fact, he's hot. I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you, Grant, but Riley, another two-run home run. I mean, what is his last 11, maybe 12 games? He's been hot.
Yeah, I know. He's been red hot. And the Braves, I talked about this on Saturday, are the beneficiaries of finally getting some of their bigger bats going, not named Marcell Ozuna. And I think that the other two guys you're always going to look at is Austin Riley and Matt Olson. And at least coming into Sunday's action or through Sunday's action, and coming into the series, he was hitting about 360 with, I believe, 7 extra base hits in the prior 8 or 10 games coming into that. So starting to hit for power. We've seen, obviously, what he's been able to do the last week and a half, 2 weeks almost at this point. And you just need to see more of it. And you need to see more of it from Matt Olson, which we're also starting to see as well. So getting a bunch of guys going at one time, but not a surprise that the Braves are finding different ways to win ball games. But slugging is always going to be at the heart of that. And Austin Riley is going to be right front and center in what the Braves hope to do as far as the home run department is concerned.
Grant McCauley, guys, talking Braves right here on Dukes and Bell. We were mentioning earlier, nice bounce back from Schwellenbach. I just thought, you know, the Jays kind of got to him the third time in the, around the order last time he pitched. But what do you think of his outing? A lot of guys got on base, but he handled it.
Yeah, he did. And some of that early on, at least, the second inning was defensively. Matt Olson had a throw that he would very much like to have back. And that was just one of those things that Schwellenbach can't control. But what he could do was to buckle down and limit that damage. And I thought he did a really nice job of that, getting out of trouble where he needed to. And first, next thing you know, he's through 7 innings, allowing 2 earned runs. And I think you'll take that every single time out of your starting pitcher. And Schwellenbach has been one of those guys that seems to be up to the task of delivering that. So good to see that bounce back. I felt like the Toronto start was a bit of an outlier for him. He wasn't quite as precise as he, I think, would like to be. And that's going to happen from time to time. But, you know, this is the game of adjustment. So what do you do that next time out? And I think Schwellenbach answered that question pretty well last night.
It's Grant McCauley, guys. Let's talk about the situation with the bullpen. And what does this leave us with the injury with Strider as far as, I know it's 15 days and retroactive, but does this concern you even when he comes back? Are they going to be cautious with him, or do you throw him right back in the rotation?
Yeah, no, I think you put him right back in the rotation. That's what he's worked for. But will his absence drag on to the point where he's going to have to once again stretch out and get back up to that 90-plus pitch mark, which was so important, I think, throughout the course of those spring training starts he made, the minor league rehab starts, and then obviously his first one in Toronto. I know we were talking about, did he really need to go back out for the 6th? I think that that was a worthy gambit because you were just trying to build that pitch count a little bit more and see what he would be able to do for you. And ultimately, this is just one of those bizarre freak injury things that, you know, I talked to him prior to the game as he met with the media, and about as dejected as you're going to find, because he knows, as do we all, that he spent a year trying to get himself ready. And now, in his words, he said, you know, I just feel like I'm just taking up space in here and I'm not earning my check and I'm not helping this team win. And I don't like the way that any of that feels. So I'm going to do everything I can to get ready, get back out there. But as far as conditioning and doing all of the right things, Spencer Strider is that guy. So to see this happen to him, you know, it just reminds us that you can do all the preparation and do all the stretching and do all the things that you're supposed to do, and sometimes you just can't avoid it. He just said he felt it on a couple of throws. The next thing he knew, he was fearful that it might be worse than it actually was diagnosed, which is a grade 1 strain, which is the lowest possible grade of a hamstring strain. I believe it was Michael Harris last year that had the grade 3. And that kept him out for quite a while. So I think at least that's some good news. But is it 2 weeks? Is it 3 weeks? Does it take a little bit longer than that to give him the innings he needs? We're going to find out.
Good news is Braves have a 4-game win streak. Bad news is bullpen start with the craziest name in the bigs. Scott Blewett is on the bump to start. again, hopefully it goes well. What do you think the plan looks like tonight?
Yeah, I think you just kind of have to piece it together. Unfortunately, that's just part of, you know, losing a starter that you're expecting to have out there the way that the Braves were up until yesterday, right before the game, right about this time, actually. I think I did this call and went and sat down, and the next thing I knew, I had a notification that Spencer Strider was going to miss his start, and then we had to kind of scramble to get some information on that. And, you know, I again, it's not ideal, but you just piece together what you can, obviously. First couple of innings, I think that Blewett will be a guy that they look for. And then they also brought up a reliever to see if he can give them some help as well. And if he can, that would certainly help him as far as piecing it together is concerned. And, you know, it would be for Nathan Wiles, I believe, his first big league action. That's the arm they recalled from AAA. So those are a couple of guys you're looking at. Then maybe you use some of your leverage arms if you keep the game close, manageable, and the offense gives you a good chance to win.
All right. What do you – look, the Cards have struggled, right? They're 1-10 on the road. I mean, we got to take advantage of this. We've been looking for a team that we can kind of beat up on. And talking about Austin Riley, he's been great against the Cards specifically. I think he's got 6 home runs and 7 in the past 12 games versus the Cards. So that's my thing. Like, it'd be great to win tonight and know that we're going to win this series, but we got to continue to take advantage of these guys.
Yeah, you definitely do. Wherever you can, take advantage. You need to. And for the Braves, I feel like, you know, some matchups are for major league hitters, I should say, some matchups are a little bit, you know, more favorable than others. And Austin Riley, remember, hit his first career home run here in this ballpark against the Cardinals off Adam Wainwright. So maybe a little bit of that is just always kind of under the surface there. He likes facing the Cardinals, and obviously the results speak for themselves.
We were talking earlier about Frenchie, Jeff Francoeur, talking about the situation, how it went down over the weekend with Kelnick and how it was treated. And then, of course, the subsequent tweet and then deleting of the tweet from Ronald Acuna about maybe a double standard. How long do you think the story plays out? And when will Ronald get back to actually have some FaceTime with Snit? Are they actually spoken on the phone?
I haven't heard anything about them speaking yet. Nobody really, you know, delve into it with Brian Snitker in the pregame availability, because I think you do kind of end up at a point where you're just not really going to get any answers from it. It's blood from a stone. And until those guys are able to talk and until Ronald is here and able to, you know, I guess, answer those questions himself, that's one aspect of this that's not in play right now for, you know, obvious reasons. He's in Florida, he's rehabbing. But, you know, I like Jeff Francoeur a lot. I think that clearly he played in the big leagues long enough to be in clubhouses to understand how those dynamics work. And I think he made a lot of good points. But on the flip side of that coin, I think to go down the road of the Braves could win without him or would have won the World Series without him, I don't think that that really holds as much water as some of the other things do. But I understand it, you know, it hits everybody in a different place. And some people are more passionate about certain parts of it than others. But I think that Ronald Acuna Jr., the numbers bear it out. The Braves are a better team with him than without him. But there are certain things about the situation that obviously have created some difficulty that, you know, they're going to have to be some conversations about to get on the other side of this. But I think everybody, ourselves included, I don't want to speak for both of you guys, but it'll be nice to talk about something else. Like, I don't know, the triumphant return of one of the best players in the game that you're excited to have back in your lineup. But before you can even get there, it just seems like you've got to do some spring cleaning with this business.
You do. You do. Let's continue to win. That's first and foremost. Grant, thanks so much. And let's get another one tonight, man. Thank you again.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right. That's Grant McCauley. And I'll be honest with you. I'm enjoying talking about this. Not because I want to see drama with our team, but you can't ignore it. And that's the part, Mike. It's like things happen and you go, well, I'd rather not talk about it. And I get it. Where Grant's coming from, like, our team has struggled. Let's talk about dubs. But I think some things need to be addressed.
But, you know, it goes back to, yes, was Ronald immature? Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are immature. Hell, I'm still immature. I'm 56. But, I mean, as Ronald made his journey through Major League Baseball and established himself as a star in this league, I don't think his team ever had his back.
Yeah.
And that manager treated a player differently who did something that other players have been disciplined for. So that's the story.
All right. One former Falcon says he was done dirty. But do we believe him? It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back, you've traded Matt Ryan.
Marcus Omarita.
And so because of what happened, remember, guys, it was St. Patrick's Day weekend. The word comes out that somehow the Falcons are in the mix for Deshaun Watson, mostly likely from Arthur Blank. To this day, nobody wants to claim it. General manager doesn't want to know how it got there. It just happened, right? Somehow we called a football team about a player. Don't know who. So who called? Who made the freaking call, right? Anyway, that's another argument for another day. Because we blew that and didn't have enough money to play with the Browns in the big game with the Texans, we end up moving Matt Ryan for next to nothing. Third round pick to the Colts, and now we had to go get a quarterback. So it was a 2-year next to nothing, $18.75 million deal from Mariota, to your point. Some familiarity from his time up there in Nashville with Arthur Smith.
Okay, so now fast forward. He's not been here. I felt like he quit on the team when you didn't want to help the young quarterback that was in place. You left the facility, and now, Mike, he is saying his side of the story?
Now, again, I don't even know what this video is from. It has a Bud Light logo and a FanDuel logo. So I presume this is from where he is playing nowadays, right?
Okay.
Right. Where is Marcus playing, by the way?
He's in Washington.
Yeah, he's a backup for the Commanders. So I presume this is FanDuel DC.
Yes.
So anyway, there's an interview with two guys and Marcus, and he basically, it's about 5 minutes long of video, five and a half minutes. I watched it earlier in the commercial break. He basically intimates that Arthur Smith and the Falcons did him wrong. That basically when he had the knee problem, they told him that they were going to go in another direction with Ritter.
Okay.
And he said he was going to get his knee checked out. And then he says that Arthur then implied, oh, no, Marcus quit on the team. And the message that we got from the organization and Arthur was that Marcus Mariota's not coming back to Falcons, which
right.
he didn't.
That's right.
And I got to be honest. If Marcus Mariota is a very kind of low-energy guy. You know, some guys are over the top. He was a very low-key guy. He's not. He's just kind of equivocating on the specifics. He kind of talks a little bit in circles. This is my take on this. And as I like to say on the radio, and you agree with me, there's three sides to every story. His, hers, and what happened. Or in this case, he's his said, Arthur said what happened. I like to hear what Arthur Smith says about this. He keeps going, you know, Arthur's a good guy. You know, he's a good guy, but he basically infers that, like, Arthur put this out there. The message.
That's a convenient narrative.
No, come on, Art.
That somehow Mariota quit and that he says that wasn't the case. Now, I got to be honest. I'm having a hard time believing this video and the way he's presenting it. Because he's not saying it with a lot of conviction. He's saying it in a very passive-aggressive manner, for lack of a better word. I posted a video at Mike Bell ATL. You guys can take a look and tell me what you think.
It's the first time we've seen him discuss this. I'm assuming 3 years from now we'll have a Kirk Cousins video like this discussing right. what happened with the Falcons. I'm just saying. But this is the first time we've heard from Marcus Mariota. Now,
Or is checking. I don't think there's any cussing. We just got to make sure before we okay. put the audio on the airwaves.
Okay. And by the way, for those of you who are saying, okay, what's this have to do with the price of tea in China, blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. Some of these things that we go through in the world of sports that are unresolved, sometimes we just want closure. Sometimes it's like, okay, this is the story we believe. This is what happened. And then all of a sudden somebody comes out and says, let me tell you what really happened. And you go, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And it allows somebody to defend themselves. Listen, I would have loved to have talked to Marcus Mariota, just like Kirk. I'd love to talk to you. But we didn't get a chance to. He left. He right. left the city. He was gone. And then he was signed somewhere else, Mike. And everybody said, all right, good riddance. But for him to come out now, why now, Mike? Like, yeah. why now, like, discuss this? I mean, seriously. So I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. Mike keeps telling me I got to check it out. I'm going to. But I invite you to go check it out because I love the fact that it was like, well, I was kind of done dirty. Okay, well, what happened?
Well, I mean, first things first, I mean, we walk it back. He wasn't effective as a quarterback. You know, then we can talk about, you know, the team maybe moving on after a knee injury. But, look, Arthur Smith has moved on. He's obviously he has designs on becoming a head coach at some point. He's going to have a quarterback first if he's going to do that at Pittsburgh. But I just, you know, I know that we met with Arthur. And, yes, Arthur does tend to talk in circles sometimes and does kind of beat around the bush. But he didn't strike me as the kind of guy that would do that to a player. And one thing I think we all said when we were out there every week, guys, every day in that locker room, we were out there, that even though the team looked a little dysfunctional with the play calling and the execution, nobody was quitting on Arthur Smith. Only guy that got upset, it was no big deal, was Cordero Patterson, gave me the ball. That was the closest thing we had anybody beefing with him, even though it drove the fans nuts.
It did. All right, meanwhile, we got to tell you today, Kirk Cousins, speaking of Cousins, reported to voluntary workouts today. Zach Klein first reported this on WSB. The belief, again, is Cousins and his camp prefer to wait until after the draft before exploring trade options. We know why. But I still believe that that is something that's on the table. I still believe the Falcons are confident that they can do that. They're asking teams, from what we understand, to pay some of this down, this salary, right? But he's in the building, Mike, and we're paying him $27.5 million fully guaranteed. We know he's owed more than that.
Right.
But that's what we're paying him. So I think today as we started the show and I said, Mike, what is this all about? And I'm asking you guys. I mean, honestly, the reason why I'm skeptical is because everything we've heard since after the season is he wants out. He had a meeting with our owner and Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank owned it at the owner's meetings, annual meetings down in Florida and said, look, I was on the phone with him for an hour. I took notes because I wanted to make sure I was paying attention to the things he was saying.
Right.
So if I want out of a situation, I'm not showing up for Jack. I'm just telling you guys. Now, even if you say, well,
you would be like disgruntled, almost like a mini holdout.
Correct.
Right.
And Mike, even if you said, well, Dukes, there's a lot of money tied to this, all right? And maybe his people or his agent said, hey, you got to get your extra money that's tied to this. I'm still not, Mike, because I just got $100 million over the last 2 years. Okay?
But, I mean, maybe this is just another example of Kirk Cousins showing you his true colors. He tells you one thing in the fall when he gets benched, that he's not hurt. And then he goes and makes excuses to everybody out there. No, I was really banged up. And now, maybe it's simply about the dollars with Kirk Cousins. No one's made more money when you think about and gotten less done as far as the playoffs. You know, some of that's beyond his control, the team he played on.
Sure.
But there's basically there's ties to your contract that you've got to be at anywhere from 75% to 80% to 90% of these team activities for you to get these different roster bonuses and for the contract to play out. So to make sure that he's in compliance, that's, I think, why he's here.
Okay.
That's how Randy broke it down. And Randy McMichael was talking about it. Some contracts, now, it's 80, some it's 90%. But basically, he's here for that.
Okay. So here's my other side of that. And maybe it is just that simple. But again, if you're going to go through the fuss of all the things that have been said and you're laying out this plan for you to leave the ATL and land on your feet wherever you want to, Mike, you don't care about that. You just don't. And the idea is, all right, maybe he wants to get back in the good graces of people who said, hey, I don't know if this guy is good guy, bad guy, whatever the situation may be, but look at this. He's showing up when he doesn't have to.
Right.
And you know what? He's doing what they're asking him to do. Doesn't that go somewhere and maybe it lets you feel a little bit better about it? No, it doesn't.
Right.
For me, it doesn't change anything. And Kirk Cousins has to know, even if he's on this team, all right, in the fall, unlikely but possible. If he is, Mike, what is he doing? He's not talking to us. And I say us, I'm just media, period. He's not one of the faces. He's going to be just like every other backup quarterback back behind the scenes, not saying a whole lot. And I just feel like at the end of the day, this, if that is this ploy to say, hey, I'm doing everything the Falcons asked me to do. I'm a team player. Look at me. Hey, maybe this helps other teams view me in a different way.
Right.
Okay, maybe, but I'm just – I'm really perplexed on why you would even show up in a voluntary situation when you know this is not my final destination.
I'm going to chalk it up to simply
– money.
Money. Money. And not greed, because he's like, he's a contractually obligated player. If this is part of the contractual obligation, so be it. He's fulfilling it. But it does look weird. Bijan Robinson talking to D-Led. I mentioned it in the Falcon Report at the top of the hour. And I love Bijan, I think everyone's favorite Falcons, saying, and I love the quote, Carl, I'm tired in the offseason, says Bijan, of telling people like, man, we're almost there.
Mm.
And obviously feeling they've got a lot of talent on this team, but obviously it's time to put it together. Now from the start of the season with Michael Penix Jr. under center, and hopefully in a 2016-like draft where we find some impact players.
Please.
And the guys that we have not had impact yet from the last two drafts are impactful, then yes, we can do that.
All right. That's something that's going on. We'll continue to talk about it as we count down to the draft on Thursday. Mike and I live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun, of course, all throughout the day, draft coverage. And then, of course, Wes, Dave, and Mike Conti at Mercedes-Benz Stadium doing the draft live as they normally have done over the last X amount of years, guys. It's a lot of fun. They do a terrific job. And then the post-draft coverage as well. And then Friday, we're back up at Flowery Branch. And that's going to be fun as we'll be talking to whomever they end up drafting.
Yes.
I don't know. We don't know what position and all that stuff. But whoever that person is, Mike, I'm hoping that it's somebody that can come in here and help us immediately. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, I mean, edge rusher, certainly. Trading down, certainly. See, trade down and an edge rusher. Pick up a corner with a second round and everything else you need.
Boom.
Beef up your O-line. Go get a wide receiver. Get more safeties, whatever you want to do. But, I mean, right now, edge rush, I'd love the idea of getting an extra second or a third if you could pull it off. Because right now we got no third, no fifth.
All right, we spent a lot of time today talking about the Hawks before we exit left. By the way, Chris has got the night show coming up here at 6 o'clock. Trae Young has no desire to leave Atlanta. That's what he's told Chris Haynes. Then Trae tweeted out today, and Big O, I want you to read this again for us because I analyzed it. Maybe more than most of you. But Trae thanking the ATL. It's year 7, guys.
Thanking.
Yes.
Thanking, as in the end of something.
No. Thanking us.
Drawing conclusion. Thank you for my time here. Is that how you read it? That's how you hyped it.
A little bit.
You freaked people out.
All right.
You did this.
Oh, read the tweet from Trae today.
ATL, heart emoji. 7 years down, and last, I won't be in the postseason. Love. Praying hands, heart emoji, basketball emoji, snowflake emoji.
I won't be out of the postseason.
So look, all the emojis and go with the I, huh, Carl?
Right. Where is the we Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta, we will be in the playoffs every year from this moment on? Where is that? I'm just saying, Mike, that's all. Can I get that?
Hey, man, where's the we in this team putting somebody around him that can play? Okay. There's no I in team.
Can I get that?
There's no I in team. There's an E in team. There's an E in money. And when is Russell going to spend some?
Well, O read that earlier on the show, and everybody's like, oh, Trae wants to be here. I'm like, hold on. Let's analyze it.
Now, Trey's dad was texting with us yesterday. we'd love to get Trey on the show. Trey's dad, Ray, appreciate you hitting us up. But as you know, as he said, Trey is sick and tired, as anyone else would be, of watching his peers continue to play, and he's at home.
I feel that.
And then, as you brought up yesterday, if I'm Trey, get me out of here, because I don't trust you guys to get this right. And whether you think I'm the man or not, and if you can't find me a Robin, I'll go to a team with a Robin, and I'll go be Batman, or I'll be Robin, either way.
That's right.
But as far as the Hawks, you know, right now he's got, what, one more year, and then he can opt out, and adios, right?
One more year.
And if you don't, then you're locked into like a major contract that maybe wrestlers not prepared to spend on.
Chris Haynes says, again, Trey has no desire to leave Atlanta. That's is what he is saying. And look, I think he's been saying this. But if you want reassurances, all right, that's what he's saying. Publicly, what's he saying privately?
I mean, he might not have desire to leave Atlanta, but he also has a desire to win.
You're right. You're right. All right.
Build his brand. By the way, is Trey going to be on the Olympic team in Los Angeles?
I'm sorry?
We have an Olympics coming up in 3 years. Is Trey going to be on that team?
When's the Olympics?
In 3 years. It happens every four.
Okay. I'm sorry. Is he a Nike or Adidas guy?
Well, it's funny because you think Grant Hill, who works for the Hawks, might have some say about it. Oh.
Mm. I hope he is.
Grant, by the way, is part of the U.S. men's basketball team.
Yes, he is. I hope he is, but we're going to see. Look, that was the last LeBron and Steph Curry Olympics we'll see. Mm. It's time for the next crew, the next group of guys. All right, man. Tomorrow, by the way, Charles Davis is going to join us, NFL Network, and we're going to talk to our man DJ Shockley as well tomorrow here on the show. Chris has got the night show coming up. Mike Bell, man, before we get out of here, clear your throat, brother.
Hey.
Hey, good to see you, Chris.
Hey, man, another part of watching football for us and a chapter of our childhood for some younger audience members out there. Mike Patrick has passed away at age 80.
Oh.
Longtime ESPN Network announcer for the NFL. Sunday Night Football with Joe Theismann back in the old days. And, of course, plenty of college football, including that amazing moment when Auburn was playing Georgia and they're ready for a field goal to win the game. He goes, "What's up with Britney Spears?" Remember that? Guy had a great sense of humor. Not everybody got it. But you and I both had a chance to hang out with the guy over the years. He was a real treasure, old school guy, along the lines of a Brent Musburger or a Brad Nessler. Rest in peace, Mike Patrick.
Hey, I'm interested in this Lakers-T-Wolves game tonight. Did you tell me Ant-Man said something vulgar to a fan?
Yeah, my is bigger than yours.
He got fined by the NBA for that?
$50,000.
Wow. Just for saying it's bigger?
Well, he can pay it because, you know why? His is bigger.
Oh, did he? And he did a gesture too?
Yes, he did.
All right. I'm just interested because if the Lakers go down tonight 0-2, all this talk about Luka and LeBron and chips, slow your roll. The T-Wolves are an interesting matchup for them as the NBA playoffs are going on. I'm just saying, if they lose tonight, the heat is on. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
Oh, don't do this. If you don't,
you're kielbasa, not as big as Ant-Man's.
I have an important question.
Go ahead.
What is Brittany doing with her life?
Who?
Brittany.
Brittany who?
Spears. What is she doing with her career?
Why do we care at this point?